We are continuing actually in a little series on the I Am's, looking at what it is to be an apprentice to Jesus Christ. And not, well, we're going to say quite conveniently, but I did actually plan it, to be honest. We are looking at I Am the Resurrection and the Life. It sort of seems appropriate on this day, so let's go for that. I wonder, do you remember if when you were 5 years old and you spent an entire morning just looking forward to going to the park, just to enjoy the swings and the slides, and you finally got there, only to discover that it was closed for repair, and you cried all the way home? Or perhaps you've come to your mid-40s, I wish, so you take a step back and you just take stock of your life and you make that decision. You're going to stay with the company that you're with. You're going to work long hours, have late nights, and you're just going to give everything to your job. And then you get passed over for promotion. And with it, the door closes on your dreams and on your career. Or perhaps all of your career doors are open, your relationship doors are open, you're successful and you're happy, but now the doctor says that you've got a serious heart condition and it feels as if all the doors start to close. Or worst of all, perhaps you've made it to the very top of your career. You've had all the relationships of your dreams. You've been healthy every day of your life, open door one after the other. But the journey through all of those doors has been without Jesus Christ. And now, at a very old age, you die and you stand before the door of heaven, and it's closed. And even though you cry out, "Lord, open the door," he replies, "I did not know you." What heartbreaking words. And you wished you had listened to the words of Jesus in John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? And this Easter Sunday morning, I want to tell you that Jesus is your hope now and forevermore. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life, there is an open door for anyone who believes in him. Now, for the disciples who had just witnessed Jesus' death on the cross, it was devastating for them. Every door seemed to have closed in that moment. In John chapter 20 and verse 19, we find that the disciples are hiding behind locked doors. We read, "On that evening, on the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and he stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.'" The door was literally closed. Hope was gone. They were locked away in a dark room of fear. They had no way out. And as far as they were concerned, God had got no way in. However, the risen Christ is not limited by closed doors. And Jesus was suddenly standing among them. Nothing was going to keep Jesus out. The true meaning of Easter and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is just a powerful declaration that God is in the business of opening closed doors. So when God opened that closed tomb of Jesus on that first Easter Sunday morning over 2,000 years ago, it was the first step to throwing open millions of doors and putting hope into the lives of people who trust in him. And the implication for your life and for mine is this. When there are doors in our lives that seem to have been closed, and we feel as if we are just locked in dark rooms of fear, and we can see no way out, remember, what is impossible for us is absolutely possible with God. And the risen, exalted Jesus Christ is not limited by human doors or by walls, either physical or metaphorical. And the great news of the resurrection is that Jesus Christ can open the closed doors of your fears and the disappointments of your life, and he can bring hope and love and light. And this morning, I want to encourage you just to get a big marker pen and write open across the closed doors of disappointment in your life, and allow Jesus to come in even into the very darkest of rooms. Secondly, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life, there is peace. Now, when I was a teenager, my bedroom had a window seat. And the window was big enough for someone to stand in behind the closed curtains without anybody knowing they were there. Colin, my brother, would sometimes creep into the room, hide behind the curtains, and stand there until I came into the room. He would sometimes stand there for 5, maybe even 10 minutes until the room was absolutely quiet. I was maybe doing some homework at the time, and he would jump out and just literally scare the wits out of me. Got to the stage where I would always walk into the room and just have a look behind the curtains first before I'd do anything else. You know, there are many different ways of making an entrance, some better than others. But what is really interesting is that when Jesus walks into the room in the most unorthodox of ways, listen, walking through a wall is a little bit like jumping out from behind curtains. However, when Jesus enters, he doesn't bring fear, but he brings peace. And his words are, "Peace be with you." Now, this is more than just some usual Hebrew greeting. The last time the disciples had seen Jesus, they had abandoned him. They had ran away. They had denied him. In fact, Peter, 3 times, he says, "I don't know you. I don't know who he is. I've got no idea who this man is." Yet now, even though this is the very first meeting with him since the resurrection, there is no rebuke, there is no blame here. You see, the peace that Jesus gives is more than simply being free from troubles. It is the greatest of all blessings, for it is a right relationship with God. Jesus restores friendship with our Father in heaven, and we get to live in the fullness of God at peace with him through the supernatural indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. The peace that Jesus gives is life-changing, and it is life-giving. And when we allow Christ to open the closed doors of fear and disappointment in your life, he replaces them with his peace. For some of you, Jesus Christ has broken into your life in the midst of pain and problems, sometimes in a very dramatic way. For others, it's almost as if he has sort of sneaked in quietly. Yet the result is still the same. When Christ appears to all who believe in him, and listen, he will come to everybody who invites him, he will speak peace over your life. So receive him. Receive him. Thirdly, everyone needs Jesus, because he is the resurrection and the life. God offers salvation to everyone who believes in the risen Christ. He is the one who truly reigns over everything. The simple truth is that through faith in Christ, everyone can be saved. Rich, poor, married, single, young, old, gay, straight, criminal, addict, murderer, religious, agnostic, atheist. The list could go on. No one is beyond the power of God or the reach of His Holy Spirit to change lives. Also, there is no disease, no addiction, no demon, no bad habit, no fault, no weakness, no temper, no moodiness, no pride, no self-pity, no greed, no jealousy, no laziness that Christ cannot overcome. And when you battle with your sins, with your faults, with your feelings, those enemies of your faith, you do not need to fight alone. Jesus Christ has defeated every last one of them through His death and resurrection. As 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 25 reminds us, for He must reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet. In fact, as Philippians 2, verse 9 to 11 tells us, Christ is reigning, and every authority and every power will be conquered one day. We read, therefore, God exalted Him, God exalted Christ, to the highest place, and give Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, as Jesus rose from the dead, He dealt a death blow to Satan and to sin, which will reach a magnificent climax one day when Jesus comes back again. In these verses I've just read from Philippians chapter 2, Paul tells us that God exalted Jesus to the highest of place. In fact, He gave Him the ultimate name of all, the name that is reserved for God alone, Lord. Incidentally, it was also the name that was reserved by the Romans for Caesar. So it's no accident here that Paul uses the name as he writes to a community suffering under the hands of Roman occupation. And Paul wants them to know, and he wants us to know as well, that there is only one Lord. And His name, it's not Caesar, it's not anything else. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the center of everything, past and present and the future. And whatever your circumstances, God is still sovereign. He is Lord over all heavenly beings, over angels and demons, over everything that is alive today and everything that has already died. In other words, there is nothing and there is no one beyond God's sovereign authority. So as we wait for the glorious return of Jesus, we're told to go and to take this message of Jesus to everyone. No one is excluded. And it's not for us to make prejudgments who God will save. Our job is to tell everyone about Jesus, the resurrection, and the life. Fourthly, Christ's death and resurrection was necessary. There is no other way that we can be saved. Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And God does not give up on you. However, there must come a moment in everyone's life when they face up to the reality of their sin and they repent. and experience the resurrection power of Jesus. The Bible says that you must die to your old self. Jesus puts it like this in Luke chapter 9, 23. If anyone comes after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. You must put sin to death. But if you have ever tried to do this, you will know you can't. At least not for very long. Self-will doesn't work. Simply saying no is not enough. That's why we need Jesus. That's why the message of Easter is so important, why the cross is so central to the Christian faith. Without the cross of Jesus, you have got no hope, you have got no forgiveness, you have got no eternal life. 1 Peter 2:24, we're reminded that Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. This is the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ. To put it a little bit more simply, Jesus took your place. He loved you so much that he took your punishment for sin. Jesus, the sinless Son of God, was so unjustly treated. See, the Roman soldiers were skilled torturers. They used barbaric whips made of leather embedded with balls of metal and hooks. The whipping would have cut Jesus back into just ribbons. The pain was sometimes so intense that the whipping alone would have killed those who were being tortured. Jesus endured all of this. Then on the cross, a cross was placed on his shoulders and he was made to carry it to the hill of crucifixion. Metal spikes were driven through each wrist and the left foot was placed on top of the right and a long metal spike was nailed through both arches of his feet. And as that cross was dropped into the hole in the ground, he was left to die in the most horrific of ways, and yet he was innocent of any wrong. But what is really interesting is that the New Testament has got very little to say about Jesus' physical pain because it fades away in comparison to his unique spiritual suffering as Jesus on that cross was cut off from God, his Father. You see, on the perfect, sinless Jesus, your sin was placed. Jesus took the punishment that you deserved. And through faith in him alone, you can be taken from death to life. There is no other way to receive eternal life. He is the ultimate substitution. And when Jesus was taken down from that cross and buried in a borrowed tomb, it seemed like the end. But neither death nor Satan could hold Jesus. And after 3 days, God victoriously raises him to life. And the resurrection power of God that raised the sinless Jesus back to life has also brought life to millions of sinful men and women who by faith repent and turn to God. When Jesus rose, he ripped apart the power of death. He destroyed the enemy and victoriously he brings life. So we can shout along with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 and 55, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Listen, our hope and our victory comes through our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's because of the love of God, and because Jesus will never give up on you, because no one is beyond the reach of God's salvation, not even you. So by faith, put your trust in him today. The resurrection of Jesus is proof that he alone defeats the enemies of God. And because he reigns, he breaks down the door of fear. He swings open the door of despair and guilt within your life. So as you write that word open across the doors of failure in your life, he will turn it into an open room of glory. His glory. So that you can achieve your full potential in Christ and do what you were created to do, to glorify God and to enjoy him and to live in his presence forever.